Good morning, everybody. Okay, that's plenty loud. So welcome to the Aerospace and Defense meeting for August. Thank you for coming during this beautiful summer day. We'll have a brief overview of Aerospace and Defense, and then we'll turn it over to Jacob to give us some insight into what the requirements are for cybersecurity for defense contractors. And I'm unable to, no. Here we go. Okay. Aerospace and Defense Forum. This says 11 years. It's probably at least 12 years by now. Over 2,400 professionals. There's 9 chapters. We are about 3 years old, I think. Mike, 3 or 4 years old. We started pre-COVID, managed to make it through COVID. This is the types of things we do. We have presentations, we have tours. For example, we have a tour in October at a local processing house. So you should see if you can make that. And it's really about networking and learning and meeting other people that can help you run your business. And the goal is to have you walk away with something that will help you with your business. So if you haven't put your business card in the basket, please do. We'll circulate the business cards to your email addresses so you know who was here at the meeting if you want to reach out and contact them. So went the wrong direction. There we go. All right. I want to thank Santa Clarita Valley Economic Development Corporation for their sponsorship. Holly Schroeder, who's the president and CEO. Jay is here. Representing the SCV EDC, they have been instrumental in our success and our ability to keep going, especially through COVID, helping us with this room, helping us with getting the message out, and we're partnered with them on various things. Jay, is there anything you want to give us an overview on for those of you that don't know the SCV EDC?
Thank you. Thank you, Eric. This is Eric Jensen. He's our chair of the Santa Clarita Valley chapter. So pleasure to be here. As mentioned, Jay Wagner, and we are the Santa Clarita Valley Economic Development Corporation. What we really do at the end of the day is we take the support from county, from the city of Santa Clarita, from local businesses, and we, what I like to say is we collaborate with local businesses to ensure that they have all the tools and resources possible to get the right people in as far as talent, to keep the talent, and to help grow the city as well. So the business that we conduct here, that's exactly what we focus on. We enjoy bringing in companies from outside the city of Santa Clarita. So those of you who are representative of that, if you are thinking about relocating to Santa Clarita, that's one of the specialties that we help to work with. That means we help you find a place to build your company at, to grow your company at, and to work through all of the challenges you may find either within the city of Santa Clarita or the county of Los Angeles as far as permits and those types of things. Pleasure to be here. Look forward to seeing the rest of the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. And I want to mention that next month, there is the economic update. Santa Clarita Valley is putting on the economic update that they do every year. It's very valuable. So if you haven't signed up to go to that, I suggest you sign up and go to that. So let me give you a little background on Jacob Horn, Jay, better known as Jake. He is the Chief Security Evangelist at Summit 7 Systems. He specializes in providing thought leadership on DFARS and CMMC compliance for contractors in the defense industry, supply chain. Former NSA intelligence analyst and U.S. Navy cryptologic technician has more than 15 years experience in offensive and defensive cybersecurity operations. He has experience in the private sector, including leading governance, risk, and compliance teams at AT&T, Northrop Grumman, and NIST. He has developed and taught numerous cybersecurity training programs for organizations, including the NSA, National Cryptologic School, UCLA, and UC Irvine. He's got a master's degree in cybersecurity risk and strategy from NYU and an MBA from UC Irvine. He is a certified CMMC provisional instructor, CMMC provisional assessor, and CISSP. So with no further ado, I will turn it over to Jacob.
Clicker. Thanks, everybody. Yeah, the arrow's worn off here. So well used. Thanks, everybody. Good morning. Thanks for the intro. Thanks for having me, Jim. Thank you very much for the invite and setting all this up. Jim and I go way back. Okay, so I know that probably everybody in here has varying understandings of the CMMC program, DoD cyber regulations. So I don't know if you've had previous presentations on this or if this is a very sort of well understood subject. Is this new for everyone? It's a pretty small audience, so we can really sort of cater this to questions and everybody that everybody has. So we'll try and leave a lot of time for questions at the end, but this is now at this point, several years into the timeline of CMMC. So there's gonna be a lot of information visualized on these slides. So we'll do our best to break it down as we go along. If anybody has questions about the origin of CMMC, how it relates to other things, feel free to stop me as we go, and then we'll cover all those bases as much as we can. There's really probably several hours of orientation that would get everybody back up to speed, but we'll do our best based off of recent events. Okay, so before we get started, it's not on these slides. Like I said, there's a couple of other presentations that would probably complement this information. What I would tell everybody, anytime you're trying to understand what's going on with CMMC, is that there is one key concept above all else to keep in mind when it comes to anything related to CMMC, and that is that CMMC is a DoD assessment program, and it is designed to assess cybersecurity requirements. Now, the subtle gotcha here is that the cybersecurity requirements that DoD imposes on its contractors started, as we know them today, back in 2016. The CMMC assessment program didn't really start to show up in earnest until 2020. And the problem was that when DoD started to describe this assessment program in 2020, no one was really aware of these sort of pre-existing requirements that had been lurking under the surface for 4 years at that point. So when DoD showed up and said, we're gonna assess you against these requirements, and everybody started to realize that there was a lot of time and money and effort required to implement those requirements, the key issue was people associated the cost of implementing those requirements with the cost of the CMMC program. So a lot of the political backlash, a lot of the opinions and attitudes about CMMC actually conflated the cost of the requirements rather than focusing on the cost of the program. So since that time, since 2020, a lot of what's been going on is a process known as rulemaking. So if you've ever heard of government regulations, the government jargon for a regulation is known as a rule. The process of creating government regulations is known as rulemaking. So rulemaking is how they create regulations. So since this political backlash occurred in 2020 for CMMC, the DoD has essentially circled the wagons and gone back to the rulemaking process. And now they're coming out of that rulemaking process and they've changed their tone compared to what they had in 2020, where they are making a very clear distinction between you have had the requirements since 2016. We raised a bunch of attention about it in 2020. All of the rulemaking we've been doing since then and all of the things that are about to happen are focused on the assessment program, not on the requirements. So very key distinction. It'll make sense as we get into the visuals, but that is the number one thing that everybody should remember. Anytime you hear things about costs, burden, small business impact, timelines, anything like that associated with CMMC, they are different from the requirement, cost, burden, impact, small business issues. Okay. So in order to cover the timeline, there's a couple things we need to go over. We have to go over the process of CMMC rulemaking and recent DoD statements that reinforce how that process works. Rulemaking is very obscure. It's actually very interesting because there probably isn't anything that the government does that influences the impact on everyday Americans and businesses more than issuing regulations, but the process of creating regulations is actually pretty unknown. So we're going to go into that just very quickly and then talk about what DoD has said recently that sort of reinforces what's going on. Then we're going to try to visualize all of these overlapping timelines so you can sort of see what's happened, where we are now, and what's going to be happening over the next 6 to 24 months. And then we'll just summarize with key takeaways before we get to questions. Okay, so rulemaking and recent statements. Okay, so the thing to notice on this slide, which I think everybody will get copies. So the thing to notice on this slide is that over the last year, anytime that DOD has spoken about CMMC, they are typically doing so in congressional hearings, primarily in hearings in front of the Armed Services Committees. Because the FY 2020 NDAA told DOD to create an assessment program that would hold contractors accountable for implementing those cybersecurity requirements we talked about from 2016. So it was the Armed Services Committee in Congress that told DOD via legislation, go create a rule, go create a regulation. So every time DOD needs to answer questions about CMMC, they are answering to the Armed Services Committee who told them to create a program like this, if that makes sense. Now, the reason why a lot of people don't hear about CMMC recently is because they aren't talking to industry. They're talking to the people they have to answer to, right? When they talked to industry in 2020, they got slapped for it. So they sort of went back into and they said, well, we're just going to do our job and we're just going to follow orders and we're just going to, you know, develop the program and we'll answer the Armed Services Committee whenever we get called up for our hearings, typically in, you know, March and fall. Okay, so as you can see, you know, probably some of the headlines that you may have heard or some of the news or rumors that you would have heard about CMMC maybe around a year or so ago was that it was delayed, right? That it was delayed, that it was changing, it was delayed, it was delayed. Well, the delay here is, you know, sort of captured in these statements, but after this initial delay of when they were going to publish the regulation, they kept saying, it's a priority, it's a priority. We know it's taking a while, but it's still something that we're doing. Obviously, when they're in these hearings, they're saying this because Congress didn't change the mandate for this program. So they're reinforcing that it is still an issue. But all industry heard was it's delayed, sort of reinforces this confirmation bias that it's not happening, right? You're not hearing from them. You're hearing it's delayed. You're not watching the hearings. You're hearing it's delayed. No one's making anybody do it. You're hearing it's delayed. It wouldn't be hard to imagine everybody would say, I don't actually think this is happening. We haven't heard anything about it in a couple years. Then back in May, Dave McEwen here, who is the CISO for DOD, the Chief Information Security Officer, said that they were targeting the late fall of next year, so late fall of 2024, to begin inserting CMMC as a requirement into contracts. And then immediately after that, in July, just a little while ago, CMMC was submitted to the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs. It's an office known as OIRA. This is an office inside of the Office of Management and Budget. Whenever a federal agency has to create a regulation, that regulation must be reviewed by OMB as the sort of central point of the executive branch. So this event here on the 24th of July of DOD finally submitting the text of the CMMC regulation, the text of the rule for its final review by OMB is the signal, right? This is the flash going off on the horizon that DOD is done with the development process of the CMMC rule. They have now handed it over. So for the final check of dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's. And this is what starts the sort of official rulemaking countdown of a knowable timeline in the future. Okay, so just so that everybody knows, submitting the CMMC rule to OIRA gives us the ability to actually estimate and predict what the upcoming timelines will look like because there's a long history of what the timelines look like for DOD rulemaking with other things that they have done. So the key thing to know about this rule submission to OIRA is that the text of the CMMC rule that the DOD gave to OIRA is the text of the CMMC regulation that they would publish and impose on you today. The only reason why it's not is because of the red tape of rulemaking, right? It's because of the bureaucratic processes that have to occur that cause this lag from the day that DOD is done until the day that it's actually published and starts showing up in your contract. So don't take this lag time as some sort of period of uncertainty, right? It's just a peculiarity of the rulemaking process. The other catch here is that until OIRA's regulatory review is complete, the DOD is actually forbidden from commenting on the CMMC program publicly. So they already didn't communicate about it very much over the last 2 years. Now, because it's in this deliberative process, they are not allowed to comment on it at all. So we're going to go into this like growing crescendo of even less communication about the program. And that's actually the signal that it's more likely to show up as we get closer and closer. Does that make sense? So they're not really talking about it. They submit it. Nobody really knows that it happened. They're not allowed to talk about it. Everybody takes delays and silence as a signal that it's not happening. And then suddenly it'll get published and everybody goes, where did it come from? Okay. And then, like I said, because of this submission, we can then estimate how long the remaining rulemaking steps will take by sort of analyzing the historical averages of previous DoD rulemaking. Okay, so the three major steps that have to happen. So on the previous slide, John Sherman, the DoD CIO, had mentioned that they're going to send the rule to the Small Business Administration. So they actually sent the text of the rule for review to the SBA prior to submitting it for the official review by OMB. That's actually pretty unusual. We can maybe talk about the strategic reasons why DoD would decide to send it to the Small Business Administration before sending it over for official review. I think it's probably them preempting a lot of the small business comments that they're expecting when it comes out, but we can talk about that maybe in Q&A. So the first thing that needs to happen is that DoD has to submit the rule to OMB for regulatory review. We've done that. That's what happened on July 24th. Then the next major thing that has to happen is that once it's done being reviewed, it gets published in what's known as the Federal Register. So if anybody doesn't know what that is, every day the federal government publishes the Federal Register, which contains the texts of all regulations, rules, and changes that the government is undergoing. It's updated every day. And if you have any questions about what every federal agency is doing with their regulations, it's contained in the Federal Register. That's where public comments are submitted. That's where public comments are responded to. That's where all the heartbeat of the regulatory machine occurs, is in the Federal Register. It's actually relatively easy to navigate for being a federal website. Okay, once it's published in the Federal Register, the published rule becomes effective. So it starts showing up in contracts based on one of two scenarios. So the first scenario is that it's published as what is known as a proposed rule, or it's published known as what is known as an interim final rule. Now this is rulemaking jargon, right? The only difference between these two things is whether or not CMMC starts showing up in contracts before the DoD can respond to public comments or after, right? If it is a proposed rule, then that means that the CMMC regulation will show up after DoD has collected public comments and responded to them. If it is an interim final rule, that means that CMMC will start showing up in your contracts before DoD responds to public comments. That's really the only difference. Okay, so what we did back during the holidays was we wanted to know how long will this actually take once that submission happens. So we went back through the magic of the Federal Register and pulled all of the rules that DoD has submitted for regulatory review to OIRA since 2009. And they're very good at keeping records about when they received them and when they were done and then when they published them. We calculated all those dates. We took into consideration federal holidays, election cycles, all of those things. And we tried to determine how long does it take from the time that a rule is submitted by DoD until it is published by OIRA. And that's captured here in blue. So from the time that it's submitted on July 24th, it should take between 60 and 66 business days. Sometimes you'll hear people say that OIRA has up to 90 days to review a rule. And that's a little misleading because we're like, is it 90 days? Is it 90 calendar days? The actual executive order doesn't say. So on average, it takes 60 to 66 business days, which means that because it was submitted on July 24th, we should expect to see the published rule sometime around the end of October. The other thing that we did was we tried to figure out, well, if they get a proposed rule and they have to wait until they review and respond to all these public comments, how long does that take? So let's say that it's not there's this delay in effectiveness after they publish it. And on average, for DoD to respond to public comments and then have a rule go final, it takes around 333 business days. For anybody that doesn't know, a trimmed mean just means you've gotten rid of the outliers. You've gotten rid of the top 5% of outliers and the bottom 5% of outliers. So it gives you this range of time. There's about 260 business days in a year. So assuming that they get a proposed rule, it would be about a year from the date of publication. And that's what we're going to visualize in the next segment. So lots of rulemaking stuff, lots of rulemaking pieces, but it should make sense once we map it out here on the timeline. Okay, so if you remember back in the end of 2021, DoD published what was known as CMMC 2.0, and they said, we're going to go through rulemaking, and that rulemaking process should take us 9 to 24 months. The end of that 24-month estimate would be November of this year. So they were actually right on track with the estimate that they put, which sort of makes you think that those headlines about the delay of the CMMC program were a little misleading. This cluster in blue here sort of represents those three steps of rulemaking that we talked about earlier. We had this SBA review that happened in June. We submitted the CMMC rule to OIRA in July. 60 to 66 business days later, we should see the publication of the rule in the Federal Register for everybody to be able to read. The standard fare at that point is there are 60 days for public comments, which means that by the end of this year, the rule should be published and the 60-day window for public comments should be closed. Now, like we said, there could be one of two scenarios based on when it's published that determine when it shows up in your contracts. So the first one is the proposed rule scenario. This means that it won't show up in your contracts until after DoD responds to public comments. So if we get a proposed rule, then 280 to 333 business days later would mean that CMMC would likely show up starting in Q1 of 2025. That's when it would actually start to show up in contracts. If we get an interim final rule scenario, which is basically the worst case scenario for most people, the rule would become effective basically at the end of that comment period because they don't have to wait to respond to public comments. And that means that CMMC would start to show up in your contracts in Q1 of 2024. Now, OIRA gets to decide whether a rule is proposed or whether a rule is interim final. And no one knows what OIRA will do. The consensus amongst DoD and CMMC watchers is that it will most likely be a proposed rule, but ultimately we don't really know. So I would say it's probably going to be this, but you know, just keep this in mind that it could be sooner than we think. Okay, now the X factor here are those pre-existing requirements that we talked about earlier, right? CMMC is the program that assesses those requirements, but those requirements that were imposed on contractors started in 2016. And what most people don't know is that the implementation time that it takes to go from average small business, which we in Summit 7 sort of consider to be 50 to 100 employees, the average implementation time for a company to actually fully implement those requirements and be what we would be, what we would consider assessment ready through the lens of a CMMC instructor, CMMC assessor, takes companies about 12 to 18 months. That's 12 to 18 months if you are dedicating cycles and you're dedicating budget and you are dedicating workforce and or you are working with an external service provider because you don't have the in-house workforce, so on and so forth. There's obviously a lot of small business dynamics that can cause this window to be 12, 18, sometimes 24 months or longer. But Summit 7 being a managed service provider that specializes in working only with DoD clients to facilitate these requirements specifically. We now have a portfolio coming up on almost 1,000 companies across the country. It takes about 12 to 18 months for companies to get ready to go. And that's a huge problem, as you can see here, because most people are associating the CMMC program with the requirements that it is assessing. So they're not starting on implementing their requirements until the program is published. And so if you started in Q1 of this year in earnest, you would probably have a window here of a few months, maybe 6 to 8 months before the program became effective under this scenario. Now, those requirements are being revised, and this is probably a different presentation that we would get into, but the requirements that you are being assessed against are not DoD's requirements. They are NIST's requirements. These are federal-wide cybersecurity requirements for specific types of data. DoD just happens to be under the umbrella of this federal-wide program. This set of requirements is being revised to 171 Rev 3. The requirements are contained in a document called NIST Special Publication 800-171. We're currently on Rev 2. They're being revised to Rev 3. It's an increase of about 37% in the current draft. And so we don't really know how much longer that will add to the implementation timeline, but assume because they are really just enhancements to these previous requirements, that it's probably going to be another 3 to 4 months or so. Okay. So what happens here is if, new slide. Okay. So you might be asking yourself, okay, well, if they're going to increase the requirements, how much time will we have to implement those requirements? Because we're still waiting on the CMMC program to develop, but you're required to implement these today. What happens is there's something known as a class deviation. And this is a DoD contracting term. So we're no longer talking about rulemaking. We're now talking about DoD contracting. A class deviation is essentially a DoD supply chain wide waiver. And that says that you are required to implement this version of the requirements. We have updated the requirements. How much time will the DoD give us to implement this delta? We don't know. DoD has not said. This delta is still in draft, so we won't know for sure for a few months. But let's assume that the DoD gives everybody a 12-month class deviation. So you've had this red square required since 2016. They update their requirements, and now you get a new year to implement this delta. Let's say you didn't implement the red square, so you're going to use that year to implement the whole thing. But this 12-month extension delay would expire here at the beginning of 2025. This purple window is the estimated time that NIST has given us for how long it will take them to finish the revision of the requirements. So you can see that we've got this overlapping series of timelines, right? You've got the CMMC rulemaking process. You've got the requirements since 2016 that are being revised, which will extend your implementation time. And then you've got the timeline that DoD may give you for extra time to finish the implementation. The takeaway here is that even if NIST revises this up 37% and the DoD gives you an extra year grace period to finish implementing your requirements, that will expire right about the time the CMMC assessment program goes into effect at the beginning of 2025 to show up and make sure that you actually did that implementation. So sometimes people will say, oh, we're going to get a big waiver and extension from the DoD. A year of time is not that much time when it usually takes companies over a year to finish the implementation before the revision. So like I said, people are paying attention to the news of CMMC to start their implementation of the requirements that CMMC is going to show up and assess. And that causes people to get upside down super, super fast. So let's say you are paying very close attention, probably more attention than most people who are contracting with the DoD, and your signal was when they submit it to OIRA, that means it's really real, then we're going to start our implementation. That would allow us to slide this implementation window to the side here. And if you were to start on July 24th and extend this average implementation window plus the delta for the new requirements, that pushes you right up against when CMMC would start rolling out in 2025. Most people are not using the submission to OIRA as the signal to start their implementation. So if you waited until it was published in the Federal Register, because then you can actually read the text of the CMMC rule, you can slide this window over again. And as you can see, we start to bleed over pretty far into the timeline where CMMC starts showing up in contracts and they expect you to be ready to go for an assessment. Worst case scenario is we get a proposed rule and the rule is published at the end of this year. And then everybody says, well, it's not final yet. DoD hasn't responded to public comments and people are gonna wait until they issue their public comment responses at the beginning of 2025. If companies wait until the CMMC program is official and start showing up in contracts, you're off the chart late in terms of your ability to get your assessment, right? Because waiting for the program to start implementing the requirements that the program assesses quickly puts you 12, 18 months behind the curve for when you need to be ready. Now, business is about taking risks, right? But we all know sort of how the very large prime contractors deal with this. We know how DoD program managers deal with this. If you believe that your customers will allow you to take another 2, 2.5, or 3 years, depending on how long the line is to get an assessment, from the time that it becomes a requirement to get an assessment, great. if you think that your customers are going to misunderstand what's going on, be overly aggressive or jumpy about requiring you to have that certification sooner than way over here in 2026 or 2027, then you have this terrible trap that you're in, this weird implementation trap. So one of my colleagues at Summit 7 always says, you can't be on time for CMMC. You either have to be early or you have to be late. Because if you wait until CMMC is published to start your implementation, you're very, very late. But you're having to implement requirements that CMMC can't assess until it's published, right? You have to start way, way early, or you're going to end up being very, very late. Okay, so just another thing to consider here. NIST has said that they want this revision to 800.171, the underlying requirements from 2016, to be done by Q1 of 2024. But they've also said that that's the latest that they possibly want it to be done. Really, they want it to be done by the end of this year. NIST, unlike rulemaking and DoD, is very, very good about hitting their timeline estimates. They actually hit their estimates early more often than not during government shutdowns and things like that. They've actually pushed out drafts and revisions way ahead of schedule. So they're much more nimble than DoD is. So I believe them when they say that this could be earlier than Q1 of 2024. And I add that on there just to show you that if DoD gives you a year-long extension for that delta and NIST goes ahead of schedule, then that means that this implementation extension expires before the start of the CMMC rule, which means that if companies say we didn't have enough time to implement their requirements, DoD will be like, what are you talking about? Right? We gave you this big extension. It's been required since 2016. We went through all this public comment for rulemaking, blah, blah, blah. And then a year later, we started asking people to get their assessment. You've had plenty of time, is what the DoD will tell you. Okay, so like I said, lots of overlapping timelines. I want to leave lots of time for questions and things like that. There's a lot of moving pieces in the world of understanding what's going on with CMMC. One of the key takeaways is that your timeline for implementing the requirements that will be assessed is now longer than how long rulemaking has left, if that makes sense. The timelines have now inverted, right? It used to be that the rulemaking timeline was 2 years, 3 years long, and it takes companies a year to a year and a half to implement those requirements. We have plenty of time, but we didn't hear anything about CMMC for a long time. Customers weren't pushing people for it because it wasn't a requirement yet. Things happen, and now all of a sudden, we're upside down. The Small Business Administration review, in my opinion, is going to reinforce the legitimacy of CMMC rather than undermine it. So by sending the CMMC program, this is a sort of a chess game of the bureaucracy in DC. By sending the CMMC regulation to the Small Business Administration prior to sending it to their official regulatory review, they are preempting comments from small businesses saying that it's expensive or it's burdensome or it's impactful, because the government agency who is in charge of looking out for those things has already given it their blessing, right? So another thing to consider, the headlines around the delay of CMMC do not match what DoD was telling Congress during the period in which those headlines were coming out, right? The headlines were saying it's delayed, it's delayed, it's delayed. DoD was like, yeah, kind of, but it's still within this 9 to 24 month rulemaking window that we estimated at the end of 2021. We're still on track. Don't worry, Armed Services Committee. We would like to go faster, but these things take time. So we were getting very, very different narratives depending on where you got your news from. Like we said, the NIST requirements, the actual requirements assessed by CMMC, the ones that have been required since 2016, are going to increase. Those will not decrease. They may not increase by 37%, but the existing Rev 2 standard that you have today is never going to get smaller. Like I said, that's probably a longer presentation, but that's the way that NIST is approaching it. Okay, I apologize for all the acronyms. Like I said, everybody's gonna get the slides. There's really only a few of them, but I realize I start just rolling off with them and it can be a little overwhelming. Something else to consider, DoD cannot speak publicly about what's going on with the CMMC program until it's too late, right? It is this weird thing that happens with rulemaking that because they've submitted the official text for review, the agency can't comment on it anymore. So right before it becomes super real and starts showing up in the Federal Register for you to read, you won't have heard anything from DoD at all for 60 to 66 business days, right? Like, we won't hear anything until the end of October. And then all of a sudden you're going to hear DOD say, I hope you're ready. Hope you got your comments ready. Here we go. And so the last one here, as far as DOD is concerned, the text of the CMMC program regulation, the text of the rule is done, right? By submitting the CMMC rule to OMB, they have handed off the text of the rule for final review, which means they are done editing it, changing it, adjusting it, calibrating it, right? So I know that it's this weird, obscure part of rulemaking, but it's probably the thing to take away out of the few things I've said are the most important. As far as rulemaking takeaways, if OMB did not have to review the CMMC program, if there was not this sort of bureaucracy of rulemaking that's evolved over a long, long period of time, DOD would make you do what's in the rule as it exists right now, right? It is only this rulemaking delay that is causing this lag period, right? So CMMC is not, it's not a joke, right? It's no longer a myth. It's no longer a rumor. The official mechanisms of how the government makes regulations are well in motion at this point. Okay. So that's the takeaways. Like I said, the timeline is quite complicated, but that really does it for the update of what's going on with the rulemaking timeline. If anybody has questions about any of those overlapping elements, feel free, let me know.
So I, in my background, I've run five different companies and aerospace companies. So when I look at this, what I see is this is one element that the small businesses are going to have to deal with. It's just one. And then you've got customer audits. You've got AS9100. You've got ISO 9001. You've got the regular business that you've got going on. And what I, my takeaway here is if you're not started, you're late. Yep. So, and if you think that you may, when you in 2025 or whenever it officially comes out, that you may get not be required by a contractor, you may get a waiver, that's probably unlikely. And from a competition standpoint, if you do this and you are prepared, as challenging as it seems, you're likely to be ahead of your competitors because most of your competitors are probably waiting and delaying.
Yeah. So a couple things on here. A lot of what we see is I give this presentation a lot. Just to clarify, I think it was introduced, my title is Chief Security Evangelist. What that really means is I don't have a sales quota, right? They gave me a goofy title because I don't work in sales. I don't have a quota. I'm not here to sell you anything. I was a consultant on this topic for years and years. Then I was approached by the major managed service provider that works in this sector, facilitating these requirements. They basically said, do you want to do your consulting presentations? And we're going to call it marketing. And I said, sure, because I don't have to do biz dev anymore. And I just get to talk and help people understand what's going on. Everybody wins. That being said, is everybody in here a manufacturer? Are most people in this chapter manufacturers? Okay, so the way that I would describe this to people is if you are a small business and you are a manufacturer, you probably don't have in-house IT staff and you almost certainly don't have in-house IT security staff. And if you do, that staff is probably not familiar with the weirdness of NIST standards and DOD and things like that. It's just it's its own thing, right? It's a very federal oriented program that has sort of leaked out into the supply chain for reasons that we probably don't have time to get into. The point that I'm getting to is if you are a manufacturer, you have some distinct advantages over maybe like services companies that are going to have to deal with this. And there's two of them. One of them is the concept that I would recommend is to think about cybersecurity as a new special process, right? This is a presentation I gave to ASQ earlier this year. I've talked to NDIA about this a bunch and had mixed results with people buying into it. But typically when I talk to small manufacturers, the light bulb goes off. So you're a machine shop, but you don't do heat treating. You don't do annealing. You don't do painting. You don't do coding. You don't do a bunch of special processes. You outsource to some sort of a processing house for whatever that special process happens to be. Yet you are somehow still able to get 9001 or AS9100 certified. because those certifications are evaluating you not on your ability to execute the special process. They're evaluating you on your ability to manage the special process, right? Does that make sense? You're managing the interface between your company and the outsourced special process. My recommendation, DoD is not manufacturers. That's just not what they do. So they are not going to orient the standard this way, is to think of your cybersecurity as a new special process. You are not going to be able to do it in-house. It's expensive. It's something you're going to have to outsource. That's just the way that it works. And so as a result, you are most likely going to have to interface with a managed services provider or some sort of external IT and security services provider. That makes sense. When you look at the requirements in 800-171 and CMMC, if you think of your evaluation as AS9100 and special processors, right? CMMC and your cybersecurity service provider, suddenly the CMMC certification is evaluating you on your ability to manage the quality of your security service, your security interface, not on your ability to actually do the cybersecurity. Does that make sense? So when some of the best people that we've interacted with are quality managers, when you explain this concept, where they are managing the interface with the external service provider. So if you have a service provider like Summit 7, but we could talk about that later, who has this background in working with manufacturers, it's a big leg up over customers who maybe haven't made that connection, or services companies that don't have that. I mean, people have been doing quality certs and quality management systems for decades now. So if you orient these requirements in that way, the world suddenly becomes a lot smaller. The other advantage that manufacturers have is those quality management systems, in that there is a way to connect the dots between your ISO 9001 AS9100 requirements and the management requirements that are contained in CMMC / NIST SP 800-171. But like I said, when I explained this to the ASQ folks in Florida earlier this year, they're not security people. When you explain this to security people and NIST folks, they're not manufacturers. And so as a result, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing, even though a lot of the things that you're being evaluated on are very, very similar to the things that you're being asked in how you manage a quality system. So it is a lot to do. It's sort of a new language. There's sort of new requirements, but the worlds are not so different that it is impossible for small companies or for manufacturers to do. I usually contend that because you are a small environment, because you're a small organization, cybersecurity is actually knowable in your environment. You know how many assets you have. You know how many employees you have. You know how many accounts you have. You can actually know what your characteristics are. Whereas a larger company, they run out of the ability. The reason they have such big cyber budgets and so many issues is because they have this unknowably complex ecosystem inside their organization. So you have some big advantages being small. You have some big advantages being a manufacturer, but CMMC people, NIST people, quality people just do not seem like they're going to sort of connect these dots. If you connect them, there's nothing keeping you from translating it in a way that works for your organization, but you're almost certainly not going to be able to do these requirements in-house. Okay, that was a very long-winded answer, but maybe it helps people be a little more hopeful here. Yes, sir.
You know, if we think about the $600 hat. And so.
I think you're on. I think I hear you.
Okay. So as the requirements increase, the cost increase, is there anything in the CMMC or in the NIST that says this is how you allocate those costs? Do they go into overhead? Do they go direct cost to a project? And then is there any provision on the flow down? Because when you say contracting, you're talking about the primes to DoD.
That's right, yeah.
And so then there's a flow down provision, you know, the certified subcontract management plan with the prime. Is any of that stuff being worked out? Or is that still another delay past?
Yeah, so it is worked out, but the answers are not going to make anyone feel good. So the catch here is that red square for implementation of the pre-existing requirements that we talked about, in DoD's view, here's what has happened. You are required to do a bunch of stuff by DoD when you have DFARS contract clauses show up in your contract. And there's hundreds of millions or however many there are. There's a huge tome of DFARS clauses. Like, you won't use foreign persons for certain things. You won't contract and outsource work to certain countries, human traffic. There's just a bunch of different regulations that show up in the clauses of your contracts or your purchase orders or your subcontracts. One clause in particular, which is known as DFARS 7012, says you will implement good cybersecurity. And that has been showing up in contracts since 2016, 2017. And every time somebody has signed a contract, signed a subcontract, signed a purchase order, done anything, that has been a self-attestation that you have implemented good cybersecurity. Problem is that you wouldn't know what that really means unless you dig into the text of the clause and say, oh, this is pointing at a NIST document. And then you go read the NIST document and you understand what it's saying. You understand how to verify it. And it's this weird nesting doll of nonsense. But when the rubber meets the road, contractually, the DoD says, no, no, no. You were notified that the contract clause was going to be in there via provision. And then the contract clause was there. And then you signed it. And you've been signing it for years. And this program is simply here to verify that you have implemented what you said you implemented. And so when it was in that clause, your cost of implementing those requirements, according to the DoD, was supposed to be contained in your overhead, right? Your G&A, your overhead rates. It was an allowable cost like every other DFARS clause. So when you get the DoD to be candid, what they will say is, we've already been paying you. Right? You said you implemented them. It was part of your rate. We paid your rate. Therefore, we paid you for the implementation. So when people hear about CMMC and then they approach a new cyber special processor and somebody says it's going to cost you six figures and take you 12 to 18 months to implement the requirements, people go, whoa, why is CMMC cost me so much money? And DoD goes, CMMC isn't costing you money. That's the cost of the requirements from 2016. So it's this really terrible overlap. But to answer your question shortly, it's overhead allowable costs. The cost of the assessments, the cost of the implementation, the cost of new implementation for new deltas and revisions to the requirements, it's all supposed to be overhead. Now, for years, if we were under lowest price technically acceptable, crazy price pressure, and you were the first person to do the right thing and implement these requirements and raise your rates, you're not going to get the business, right? So everyone's getting squeezed here. And so it's a huge problem. It's a huge problem. Now, legalistically, black and white, the way that the contract works, the DoD has not come off of the line of thinking that it was in the contracts, you signed the contracts, we paid you for the contract, and now everyone's saying we actually didn't do it. So what I'm hearing recently is DoD is actually taking a new track, this sort of weird fairness-based argument where they go, well, there are companies that have implemented the requirements. Other companies haven't implemented the requirements. Therefore, it's unfair to the companies that have implemented them to suddenly subsidize or reimburse people in this way, right? And so it's very, very messy. What makes it even messier is if you are a subcontractor to a prime, right? Your contract is not with the DoD. Your contract is between the prime and you. And so what people often say is, the DoD will impose these requirements, it'll go to the mega primes, and then they will then flow it down to their subcontractors, and then the subcontractors will get upset and start yelling at DoD, right? But the primes are the ones that are sitting in the middle. And so when people say DoD needs to do something, if we zoom way out, effectively what people are saying is that DoD needs to interfere in a contract between two private businesses, and they're never going to do that. They're never going to stand up. They already don't. They never will stand up to Lockheed and Northrop and Raytheon and say, you're mistreating these small businesses by imposing cybersecurity requirements. You need to reimburse them or subsidize them somehow. DoD can't because they don't work directly with you, and they're not going to muscle the primes into doing it for them. So nobody really knows what's going to happen here. But as you can tell, that scary red sliding window of implementation is a huge problem, right? I mean, this is not a good situation, but what I would say is that in the 5 to 6 years that I have been focused specifically on this space and everything that I have learned and communicated about rulemaking, once the inertia of regulatory movement starts to happen and we get to the end of the rulemaking process like this, there is basically nothing that can stop it, right? That implementation window, that rulemaking timeline, it was all up in the air 2020 to 2021, right? When DOD was like, we're revisiting the program, we're going to figure out what's going on. And then they were like, we don't know what we're going to do. That was the period where we didn't know if they were going to keep it or not. When they published CMMC 2.0 at the end of 2021, and they said, we're going to do rulemaking, that was it. Now that they've submitted the text of the rule, it's over. And so DOD's answer typically for small businesses in the DIB is, if you have a cost concern and you're not directly contracting with the prime or with the DOD, you got to talk to your prime customer. And you go talk to the prime customer, and I'm sure everybody here is familiar, they're not the best about being altruistic with issues like complicated contractual issues like this. So it doesn't look great, is what I will say. But to your point about sort of competitive positioning for companies, a lot of times what we see is companies sort of see how this timeline is playing out, and then we'll get questions, we'll get indignation, we'll get anger in public Q&A, and then afterwards we'll get phone calls, and they'll be like, hey, how do we get started, right? Because we know everybody's going to get left high and dry, and we want to suck up all the extra work. And so we see that a lot, in that our portfolio has continued to grow. We give a lot of presentations. People go, oh yeah, CMC, boo, 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 it's expensive. And then they turn around and they go, hey, like, can we get started? Because no one else is starting. So it's not fair. It's a long timeline of crazy bureaucratic nonsense, but that's how the timelines work out. Like I said, everybody will have the slides. If you want to go in the Federal Register, you can check the math, right? You check the rulemaking process. There's no pitch here. This is just how the timelines sort of overlap on top of each other. I think we still have a few minutes left. Sorry to bum everybody out. I always feel bad when people, whenever people clap when I get started, I'm like, let's just wait a minute until we get done.
So Jake, I see a couple of risks. I guess first is, if everybody waits, there's not gonna be enough capacity in your business and the other businesses like yours to get it all done, which is likely. So if you wait till the end, you're going to have a heck of a time trying to find somebody that can help you. So that's a risk. The other thing, if you can comment on, is in your experience or your understanding, which type of businesses are more likely to be attacked, essentially? I mean, we haven't touched upon that, because this, a lot of this is about, it's cybersecurity, it's about Russia, it's about China, et cetera. You would think, or maybe I would think, that the smaller businesses could be perceived as being more vulnerable.
Hi, Jake. Thanks. So we started CMMC back in 2016 when it first, you know, came out. And then, you know, we looked at all the costs and everything. We started implementing, and then we, you know, then we halted everything because everything got pushed back or delayed or everything. And now it's starting up again. So I'm kind of interested in starting it up. But again, you know, when I think the biggest cost would be in all the monitoring. So is there a way to, you know, implement it or kind of get it started and then hit an on button, you know, where, you know, once they're ready to do the assessments or authorize people or whatever, yeah, to be ready for it. So we don't have that delay, but we don't have the cost because small business is different.
If we do have a fully managed DoD IT structure, is this something we should have been expecting them to take charge of? We have an IT firm that is managing the DoD side of our business IT infrastructure. So making sure it's secure, making sure all that. Is this something we should have expected them to be implementing for us, or is this additional to what they're doing? Correct.
So we haven't touched upon the internal support system needed for this. So our struggle has been getting the leadership and management team on board and human resources to support the implementation and maintaining it, because we've got procedures, audits, training. How do you recommend we get internal support?
Where I would say manufacturers have a pretty good.
Upcoming chapter meetings tomorrow, Paracera Show, Tale of a Changing Industry. That is an online forum that you can sign up and watch. 17th, Joanna Doolittle, Hops author, Calculated Risk, Extraordinary Life of Jimmy Doolittle. Just doing my job, Los Angeles chapter meeting. In September, there's the Santa Clarita Valley Economic Development Corporation Economic Summit that you'll want to go to. And for membership, individual membership is $350 a year. And it's not just attending a local meeting, but it gives you access to all the different presentations, all the different meetings, wherever you are, and the history of them. So there's all different presentations that are valuable and are worthwhile looking at. You can be on the mailing list for free. We'll provide you the newsletter. And of course, there's always an opportunity to sponsor this chapter or any chapter. And again, we're going to make copies of the business cards and send them out. If you wish to get your business card copied and sent out, all you have to do is drop it in the basket. And again, thank you for coming and thank you so much, Jake. Really kind of a sleeping bear that has now wandered out of the cave and now we got to figure out how to grapple with it. It's been around. So, yeah. All right. Again, thank you very much. There's still a few minutes if you folks want to talk to each other and network a little bit before we wrap up and leave the building. Do we have a few minutes? All right. All right. So, okay. Check out Jake's YouTube videos on. All right, terrific. Thank you.